0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Graham Mertes thanked his Rangers players for their efforts in his time in charge and says it will be difficult to ever go into management with any other club. So is Sunday's trip to Pittodrie his final game in the dugout? And what's that old saying, familiarity breeds contempt? Well, Celtic and Motherwell meet for the third time in 6 days tomorrow, with issues surrounding penalties, free kicks, coins and broken seats very much still in the air. There's lots of familiarity in this studio, but no contempt. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson joining us as always for the big weekend preview, which starts right here. Hugh, it's been quite a week already, and it's going to be quite a weekend.
And I think familiarity breeds excitement at Celtic Park tomorrow, because we know that a freak of scheduling put Celtic and Motherwell together 3 times in 8 days. It was unavoidable, but with each game there has come another layer of controversy, and the Celtic go for 67 in a row tomorrow. In the year when 67 was the most important figure for the Celtic supporters, Motherwell will go to Celtic Park with a sense of grievance, looking to try to make it third time lucky for them against Celtic. It was unfortunate that they met 3 times in 8 days, but they've provided some excitement, have they not?
And yeah, Derek, Pittodrie and Sunday as well, all shaping up for a number of reasons.
Well, it was terrific. I was fortunate this week. I don't see all that many live games, Gordon, but I went to St Mirren on Tuesday against Livingston. I thought it was an absolute cracking game. Just under 3,000 were there, you know, a tremendous crowd. And the second half performance, especially by St Mirren, was great to watch. And you know who was man of the match. I'm not even going to mention his name again, because I get stick. People tend to think he's my son because I mentioned it all that many times. He certainly is not, but Lewis Morgan was outstanding again, a great goal. And then I went to Ibrox on Wednesday and watched the Rangers side that I've been shouting for ages about, showing a bit of passion and a bit of fight, a bit of everything. Well, you got everything on Wednesday night, and I think Aberdeen at the end are probably lucky to come out just 3-0 losers.
Well, let's start with Graham Murty. He admits that Sunday may well be his last game in charge at Ibrox, but says it would be difficult to get into management with any other club other than Rangers. The interim boss says he'd like to thank the players for their efforts during his spell in charge and hopes he can round it off with a win at Pittodrie.
If I walk out the door on Sunday, it's my last one, then I'll take the lessons from it. I'll make sure that I thank the players, because wholeheartedly they've given me a lot. They've given me a lot to think about, but they've revealed a lot of their own character to me. So I will thank them and I will move on and take the lessons I learned here forward. But we have to make sure that if it is my last game, we go and give ourselves the very, very best chance we can for the football club to get a result. Because as I said when I first came in, it's about the football club moving forward and us leaving the football club in a good state as possible when we do leave. I've learned a great deal about myself. I've learned different things. It's been a different learning experience from the first one. But once again, I think you'll only get an opportunity to reflect upon that when I can calm down a little bit and have some time to myself. It's possibly increased my account of grey hairs. But as to management, I don't know where I could go, actually, that would give me the same feeling this place does. But that's something I'm going to have to take away with me and have a look at and consider along with my family in the future. But at the moment, I'm just concentrating on the day-to-day, because it's a very, very special club. So all I'll say is that for me to step into a different environment, I would have to feel that in a different way. But nothing could compare to this place, because it is singular. It's out there on its own. So I don't have to compare it to scale. I just have to compare the feeling that you get when you walk through the door.
Derek, would you expect this to be Graham Murty's last game in charge?
Yes, I think the way all the talk's gone, I would like to think Rangers next week will have the man in charge. But, you know, before he lets go of it, he pulled a masterstroke for me on Wednesday night. Everybody tends to think Ross McCrory's a centre-back or maybe a full-back. He played in at the end of a diamond, you know, in midfield, and I thought he was outstanding. He was my man of the match. I know Tavernier scored twice, but Tavernier was able to go forward because McCrory covered for him every time. Any time he shot forward, he just flirted over 20 yards, you know, and covered his space. I thought he was absolutely outstanding. And, you know, and it's, for one legacy, that's shown me that he's a kid that doesn't necessarily have to play alongside Alves at the back. He can play anywhere in midfield as well. So that's a huge bonus. And I thought a lot of Rangers fans were, you know, their eyes were open. They couldn't believe how well this youngster played. You know, he loved the tackle. He was getting forward at times. You know, his passing was good. You know, he just shone on the night. And Aberdeen, the first half, I thought, were very poor. They were probably made to look poor because Rangers were at them and at them all the time. Never gave them a minute, you know, to, when they got on the ball. So, you know, so it, eventually it's sinking into some players exactly the way you have to play for Rangers, and especially at home where the record's been absolutely atrocious for the last year.
Yeah, I mean, Graham Murthy speaks about the lessons learned. Well, they have been many and varied where he has been concerned. And where Rangers are in the league is not entirely down to Graham Murthy. Pedro Caixinha has to take the blame as well. But the biggest lesson of all, Derek touched upon the home record. It is the results against teams that Rangers should be beating but are not beating that have so far harmed them most of all. You know, the Hamilton result, the Dundee result.
You know, even the Kilmarnock result at home as well, Hugh, yeah.
Yeah, Rangers could and should have been above Aberdeen by this stage.
Do you expect this to be Graham Murty's last game in charge? Let us know on the phones 01419511025, or of course, if Twitter is your preferred mode of communication, we're at Clyde SSB. Let's speak to Willie in Kilmarnock. Hi, Willie.
Hi, how you doing?
Not bad, thanks, you.
Aye, well, no bad. As I say, I reiterate really what Derek said. My eyes were certainly open, and I think most Rangers fans, I mean, we really thought we'd been lucky to get a draw on Wednesday. I'm not going to tell you any lies, simply because of the, well, can't even say performances lately, and the way we've been beaten. If we've not been bullied off the ball, obviously for the Motherwell game at Hampden, and then Hamilton carried on the same thing. My hat's off to Hamilton and Martin Cannon, because they knew exactly how to beat us, but they never taken any nonsense. And I thought Peña played well, looked as if he could be a decent forward simply because of the space that he created, and he knew where to be to put the ball in the net. Derek will tell you, that's the sign of somebody that knows what they're doing. Still a wee bit disappointed in Kenny Miller. For, all right, he's gone looking for the ball, but he should be in the box, even corners and stuff like that. He's wanting to make it a short corner. He should be in the box looking for the ball, is my opinion, to try and put the ball away. But apart from that, I was really, really pleased on Wednesday, and I'm now looking forward to Sunday for obvious reasons.
Well, that's it.
Dundee's not an easy place to go.
If Rangers win there, it's a major statement in their favour. They've had some shocking results of a negative nature, but if they win at Pittodrie and beat Aberdeen twice in 4 days, serious questions about Aberdeen, who have been beaten comprehensively at Pittodrie by Celtic and then by Motherwell, now been beaten comprehensively by Rangers. So if they lose again on Sunday, it calls their credentials into question, and it's a major turning point for Rangers, I think, because a new manager will be in thereafter, and they would be certainly favourites to finish above Aberdeen, I think.
Well, there was a lot of Rangers fans thinking exactly the same as you, you know, on Wednesday night going into that game. And you know what surprised me as well? Josh Windass didn't play wide on the left or wide on the right or in midfield. He actually played up front at times. He was the one man that was running across the front line and really should have scored within 30 seconds when the ball came in. You know, and he looked as if he was enjoying himself more than playing in that role.
I don't think he's a winger anyway, Derek. I mean, we had an argument coming back from Murrayfield, ironically, although we beat Hearts. And, you know, well, who are you going to play in front of him? Who are you going to play in front of him? You know, but
yeah.
I would play Taverner further up as a winger rather than playing him at the back. But
I would, if you're asking me about Josh Windass, I would actually play him off the striker. Play the one man up and play him off so he can run anywhere he wants, either right or left. Get the ball at his feet because he is quick.
Super Cooper is on Twitter. He says, if this is Murty's last game in charge, I hope it's not the end of him at the club.
No,
I assume he'll go back to the under-20s anyway.
Yeah.
Willie, do you expect this to be Graham Murty's last game in charge on Sunday?
Well, there's still strong rumours that McInnes is coming in. And for what they're saying on the threads and that, if you look at Aberdeen, it almost looked as if they weren't playing for him on Wednesday night. I don't want McInnes personally. I know he's a Rangers man, but I think the job's too big for him, or maybe even somebody like a Tommy Wright. We need somebody to be experienced. Personally, I would have gave it to Big Eck months ago. Why they never spoke to him or never approached him, I don't know. But a lot of them are saying it's a step backwards, but he knows what it is to be a Rangers man. He's already won trophies where you could say a vastly reduced percentage compared to the likes of the money Advocate and that had. And he's done it. He's been there and done it. But I'd be quite disappointed now if they did approach him after that. But we'll just need to wait and see.
Why, Willie, why are Rangers supporters, not all of them, obviously, but why are some Rangers supporters hostile to the idea of Derek McInnes?
I don't think it's hostility. I just feel as if he could have done more against Celtic. I know he's not got the budget. He would maybe have at Ibrox, which is ironic because they've no money. But I don't know. I just feel as if he had his chance. I mean, I don't watch Celtic, obviously, Hugh. But for a couple of times, I've maybe had the game on in the background. And that Rooney, I've seen him missing what you could say should have been a hat-trick against Celtic at Parkhead. And then the next thing, in the second half, they come out and they're on their attack at Aberdeen. And Aberdeen are a good team on their day, and they're a hard team to beat. That's why I was so surprised how comprehensively we were much better than them on Wednesday night. Maybe, as Derek says, they've actually learned, or, you know, they're learning now what it is to be a Rangers player and to have the pride to wear that shirt, but they have to perform.
That's the difference. They've got to be consistent.
Okay, thanks to Willie and Cumlock. We are going to hear from Derek McInnes a bit later on in the show. Let's speak to John, the Celtic fan in Linwood. Hi, John.
How's Gordon, Hugh and Derek?
Hi, John.
All good.
Hugh, at the start of the show there, you said number 67.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic, obviously it is. But I'd like to make my point to Derek, please.
Yes,
Derek, I'm a non... bitter Celtic supporter. I obviously like to see the best in Scottish football and how we can evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you know, I mean, when yous were out of the game, we had Ronnie Dyer who gave us two, you know...
Championships, right.
Yep. The thing is, I felt that because yous were not there... that we had Ronnie. I thought that Ronnie, you know, that Pedro, you could turn around and say, and I don't mean to disrespect the guy, but he was a two-bob lucky bag manager. And I can say that about Ronnie Dyer, and I will, even though he gave us two, he gave us. But what I think for Rangers, they're gone in runabouts. Why? Because I think... since, obviously, where he's came from, he's have to grow up and get, you know, likes of Pedro. He spent money. He spent, what, £8 million on that guy that he didn't really know what it was all about. We'd done that with Ronnie, but we didn't need to spend a lot of money on Ronnie. And
I think that's
your problem. No, mm-hmm. I don't, Hugh, before you jump in.
You're making a very persuasive case for going to the commercial break here.
Well, that's your opinion, and you're entitled to that, Hugh. And you always make an echo everywhere, man. So, gonna let people speak.
Right, go on then, John. Go on then.
So, what I'm saying is, Derek, I think that you spent too much on Pedro, mm-hmm. whereby you can maybe downgrade your manager, and that's a shame because as I said, I want to see Scottish football evolve and get better.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that can do, whether you like it or not, is that's where Celtic and Rangers are competing with each other.
Yeah.
Derek, yeah. That's something that was addressed yesterday, wasn't it? The fact that Pedro Caixinha was backed, and that's, yeah. that's just the way it goes when you put your faith in a manager, and Dave King admitting as much at the AGM yesterday that he wasn't particularly pleased with the way some of the recruitment's gone recently, yeah. With the benefit of hindsight and stuff like that.
But at the end of the day, when the manager says he wants these players, he was given the money. You know, the board said, fine, we're going to back you, we've brought you over, you know, and you're at the club now, we need better players, we'll trust your judgment on players, because this is players that you've actually played with or played under or watched in certain leagues. So he's been given a few quid to bring these players to Rangers, and it just has not worked out. One or two of them has been okay, but the majority of them just haven't worked out in it. And you're right, something like £8 million has been spent. Rangers did back the manager, and I'm in no doubt whatsoever, and you can say they've no money, but whoever comes in will ask the board as well, listen, I need money. If we're going to try and catch up with Celtic in the next couple of seasons, then new players have to be brought into this club. How much money am I going to get? And I think he will get money. Rangers will provide money for him.
Well, they have another option. You know, there's a job on to reduce the gap between themselves and Celtic in the first instance. I think they do have the potential to finish above Aberdeen. Aberdeen are taking too many comprehensive defeats for there to be great confidence in them. So the next manager, as Dave King has promised at the AGM yesterday, will have to be backed financially. Otherwise, one hand is tied behind his back as he takes the job.
We're going to hear from Derek McInnes after the travel with Amber.
Travel with Ryan. Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are going to hear from Derek McInnes, Aberdeen manager, taking on Rangers this weekend. Let's speak to John in Parkhead before we do that, though. Hi, John.
Hi, Gordon.
Hello.
Gordon, I'd like to apologise for last night. Remember, I was on the before his mother. I'd like to apologise. Now, have you both got a tantrum last night?
Oh, in the back of the taxi.
Aye.
Don't you worry.
I thought the wee boy said to his man, I thought I heard Hugh Keevans' name there.
That's it. People tend to get a bit upset when Hugh Keevans is around. That's totally understandable. On you go, John. Oh, not again. Don't tell me.
Hi, Derek, how you doing?
I'm fine, John.
Derek, I spoke to you just briefly at the game the other night. And obviously, I was on last night. I would like to hear your thoughts. I mean, I looked at the boy Ross Matore. I looked at Bruno Alves. I also looked at Danny Wilson. I mean, I know it was a team performance the other night.
Yeah.
But I heard you speaking, but I thought Ross McCrory the other night was... And I know, I'm not jumping the gun, he is a good player and he's going to be a right good player, but I thought in that shape he played, him sitting in front of the Alves and Danny Wilson, I thought he was outstanding.
Yep.
The wee boy's got a bit of everything, the boy. He can play, he can pass, he's got a wee bit of dig. And I thought he really, really played well. But what I was going to ask you, Derek, when we go to Pittodrie on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
what do they do if Morelos is fit? Do you bring him back? Do you drop Penner or do you play Penner for the front? Because I think if Morelos is fit, I think you're going to play him against Aberdeen on Sunday. Or just have a bit of pace up front, maybe to pull guys out of position.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a Penner fan. I know he scored and he took his goal well, to be fair, in midweek, but never showed me enough. Now and again, he had a wee touch, but you need more from somebody that's playing in his position. He needs to be on the ball more and giving more to the team. And I was disappointed the way he played. I don't think Penner will play on Sunday. I do think McCrory will play in that diamond just in front again. And if Morales is fit, then I think he will start up front, I think, for sure. Because the need, I know he hasn't scored in the last 10 games. And for a Rangers striker, that's inconceivable that you've never scored in 10 straight matches. But it's got to happen sometime where he's going to get the goal. He's been out, he's been rested for the last couple of weeks. He had that injury, so hopefully that's revigorated him. We're watching that game during the week. He'll know he's going to have to play well to get in this team again. So, yeah, I certainly would bring him back on Sunday.
This Ross McCrory playing in there, John, is that something you would like to see continue to happen? Or was it just because it was Aberdeen the other night and Graham Murty perhaps thought they would offer a bit more going forward and he wanted to be a bit more defensive? How do you see it panning out?
Gordon, I think we should go with the exact same team on Sunday, apart from maybe Morelos or Penner. I think the boy McCrory... I thought Danny Wilson, I thought he wasn't outstanding, but he had a good solid game. And I said the other night, the Alves playing next to him, I thought Alves kind of...
He made a huge difference again, Alves.
He didn't stroll through the game, but he's an old head, you know. I know he's only 35, 36, but obviously he's played at a high level. And just on the other thing, before I know maybe a few people went on the appointment, the manager, I mean, I think, and I don't want to be made a fool here, but I was told the men tonight, the good sources, it's everybody in their granny knows it's Derek McInnes.
Well, I suppose that remains to be seen, Hugh Keevans, whether Derek McInnes wants it to go away or not. The speculation is not going away. We're going to hear from him soon.
I don't think there's any other name now. It's a bizarre set of circumstances where Derek, a couple of weeks ago, Derek McInnes, could say, I have unfinished business at Aberdeen. And if you want to ask Rangers about their new manager, why don't you ask them, not me? And for me, as we stand here Friday night, there seems to be no other name. It's going to be Derek McInnes, which leaves him in an unfortunate position on Sunday, playing against Rangers. But it would appear that the unfinished business at Pittodrie, maybe indeed finished.
Greenock Ranger has been in touch. He says, he's got nice quotation marks. He says, Rangers could be bottom six, Keevans earlier this week. Then he says, Rangers could and should be ahead of Aberdeen, Keevans this evening. Yeah. Tabloid journalist tripe.
Well, what I said was that the worst case scenario, given that Rangers had two Aberdeen games to play, also have Hibs away and Celtic away. The worst case scenario was that could have happened. Now they've made an unbelievable start by taking three off Aberdeen, an Aberdeen team that even Rangers supporters thought might win. And Derek said on Monday night something he admitted he would never have said in the past, and couldn't even believe he was saying it then, that Rangers should pack the midfield and try and avoid defeat at Ibrox. So that result has taken everyone completely by surprise. And yeah, I did say that. And if the worst case scenario had come through, then it would have been. But Rangers have started off in spectacular fashion, and I think it would have to take a collapse on Rangers' part for them not to get something at Pittodrie on Sunday.
Right, let's hear from Derek McInnes. He says his only focus is putting the smiles back on the Aberdeen supporters' faces rather than getting caught up in more managerial speculation. So they welcome Rangers to Ibrox on Sunday, knowing that a win restores a 6-point gap in second place. And McInnes says that is all that matters.
Not for us, you know, it's magnified by others. You know, we're the professionals. We got on with the job and we just look at the next opponent. And it's always about the game. You know, everything else is sideshow for everybody else to talk about. You know, we've had such a poor record as a club over the last wee while down at Ibrox. But we did expect more of ourselves, especially having won there last time out. And we've now got an opportunity immediately to try and, you know, get the smiles on the supporters' faces again, get the players to feel better about themselves and everybody in general. And that is the aim, that we go out there on Sunday and go and get all 3 points. You know, we're not thinking anything else. So all the talk, everything else is for others. We're just going straight in the job.
I think it was exactly 1 week ago, wasn't it, when Derek McInnes said, you know, I've had enough of all this speculation, want to draw a line under it and so on. And I'm sure he's even more frustrated that we are part of the problem, still talking about it a week on. I do accept that. However, the problem happens to arise, Hugh Keevans, when Dave King speaks for the first time on the subject at Rangers AGM, and he says it's probably going to be a manager with Scottish experience of Scottish football,
who's currently under
and they're
contract.
Now looking at people who are currently under contract, because the list of managers who were free and available didn't satisfy him and the other board members. So as you say, and they might pull a big surprise out the bag and everyone will be caught off guard, but people are still looking at Derek McInnes, and that's just the way it is.
There's always been one thing that I have expressed here and believed to be the case, whether it's Celtic or Rangers. These matters are affairs of the heart. Derek McInnes is west of Scotland born, Rangers supporter from birth, and I believe that if Rangers approached him, having spoken to Stuart Milne, his chairman at Aberdeen, and asked Derek if he wanted to become the manager of Rangers, I believe his answer would be yes.
He would base it on more than that, though, would he not?
Well, obviously he's a professional, and he'd examine what was available to him. He'd have to quiz Dave King. Dave King spoke yesterday about interrogating people when it came to the manager's job. The manager, or the potential manager, is entitled to interrogate Dave King to understand what he gets. I don't mean in wages, I mean to strengthen a squad that is in need of strengthening. But for me, the bottom line in this is it is an affair of the heart, and Derek McInnes would take the Rangers job.
Plus the fact, you know, he's just played against Rangers and played off the park and well beaten, so he knows there's potential there at Rangers. It's not all bad. You know, if he was to take over, you know, there's a basis of a team there, and adding three or four better players to it could make them a far better side, yeah.
I just want to stress the word if, Hugh Keevans. If it is going to be Derek McInnes, we always suspected that this double header would play some sort of significance, because as Derek says, so there are a couple of ways you can look at this. If Rangers win them both and then Rangers go and hire the manager that they've beaten both times, anyone who didn't fancy Derek McInnes in the first place is going to say, hold on a minute, our under-20s coach has just done the double over this guy and we're going to hire him. On the flip side of that, you know, people will look at it from the other side as well. So it was always going to be a big inconvenience, this double header, if you can call it that.
Yeah, and also if you accept, as everyone must do, that Celtic represent the benchmark for Rangers, Derek has lost his last seven games against Celtic on the bounce. But he appears to be the one that Rangers want. I believe that were he to be offered the job, he would say yes because he couldn't turn it down. But first of all, he's not daft. He's a professional. He would have to make sure that Dave King gave him the kind of assurances about finance that allowed him to say, yes, OK, I'll leave Aberdeen.
Billy's in Ballarnock. Hi, Billy.
How are you doing, Liz?
Not bad,
Billy. I like the Hugh Keane's statement earlier on about Rangers fans that don't want Derek McInnes. I'm one of Rangers fans that don't want Derek McInnes. The reason why, he's got an Aberdeen team that can't beat Celtic. He's got an Aberdeen team that can't beat Rangers. So why would I want him to be the manager of Glasgow Rangers and he can't do any better with his team?
Why do you think your club want him then? Because that appears to be the case, Billy.
Because I'd have Alex McLeish, because he'd bring in and beat Rangers up. Rangers have got no bad team there. All he needs is a manager to tweak that team, like the boy Murray done the other day there. A good formation, put the right players in the right positions, do the wind dash out in the left or the right through the middle, and you got no bad team there. He's got an Aberdeen team, but he's happy being second against Celtic. I know Celtic are a better team, but you never come out and say Celtic are a better team. You might be thinking that, but you never tell your players that or your fans that.
I don't think he's happy. He's not happy with those circumstances.
Yeah, well, he came out with a statement saying Celtic are too far ahead. You might think that. You never say that to your fans. There's no point in turning up if you think your team's going to beat you all the time.
Yeah, but at no point did he say, no. I'm happy with
no,
that.
I can assure you he did say he was happy, but he must be happy enough if he's going to come out with that statement. The team, no good enough to beat.
Anyway, it does appear that there's no other name in the frame other than Derek McInnes.
Maybe I give Alex McLeish a 2-year deal because he can tweak a team, put players in the right. If we're going for under-20s, can do it. I'm sure that Alex McLeish could do it to a Rangers team.
Billy,
Derek says a nucleus of team there. I'm not saying they're going to win the league, but it's a nucleus of team. Right? If you get them the right play in the right formation, the players, the personnel in the right positions, you can make a team hard to beat and you can start winning games.
Billy, I don't think you're alone. We've had a number of calls calling for Alex McLeish, but I just refer to that interview that Dave King did on Rangers TV yesterday where he said that the list of people who were out of work wasn't up to scratch, essentially. So it was going to be probably someone who was at another club. So that would rule out Alex McLeish.
It probably would. I mean, by the end of the day, he didn't take part in the interview the last time. I mean, he spent millions of pounds, Pedro. And I didn't fancy Pedro straight away. I want him to do well. Even if McInnes came in, I don't want. Of course, I want him to do well.
Yeah.
But as a chairman, having took part and put the best guy in the manager and for Glasgow Rangers in there, you never took an interest in it, quite honestly. If you don't sit in the panel, I mean, I think it's quite a disgrace if you're a top guy in that company.
I have to come back to it. If Rangers had truly wanted Alec McLeish, then we wouldn't be entering week number six since Pedro Caixinha left the club. So. No one likes Big Alec more than I do. But if Rangers had wanted him, they'd have had him by now.
Kevin is an Aberdeen fan in Dalry. Kevin, we don't have many Aberdeen fans in the show. I would imagine you'll be hugely frustrated that we're even still talking about this. I'll apologise to you in advance.
Yeah, it's getting frustrating because the West Coast media is keeping saying that McInnes is the favourite for the job. However, both himself and Milne have ruled him out of the running. Milne's just recently come out saying that he's happy with McInnes at Pittodrie. McInnes has said that he's building something. Last time when there was a vacancy, it was at Sunderland. They were after him. And he turned around and said, thanks for the interest, but I'm quite happy at Pittodrie. I'm building something here. I'm not, no disrespect to Rangers, but why would he want to move when he's building something at Pittodrie?
But to be fair, he went to speak to Sunderland. He didn't say, no. I don't want to go there. He did go to speak to Sunderland and then used his own personal judgment and thought, it's just not for me. So he did go and speak to another club.
Yeah, I appreciate he went to speak to, which is quite right. If anybody's coming in and saying, we'll be interested in offering you this job, it's quite right to go in and speak to them. But it's the fact that he's already ruled himself out. And as you say, if they were after McLeish, they would have gotten by now.
You know, in football, and Derek will testify to this.
And to be fair, Hugh, you yourself, you would admit that if it did turn out to be Derek McInnes, you would be, not, I'm not sure surprised is the right word, but given the comments last week, it would be a strange set of circumstances. So Kevin's quite right to point that out. I can only assume that for whatever reason, all the stories are failing to go away because people just simply don't believe that it's dead in the water.
Listen, people are well briefed about these matters, and those who say that Derek is not out of the frame are speaking from a position of strength because they have been briefed that that is the case. So, as I say, he did go to speak to Sunderland, which does not suggest that he could never contemplate the idea of leaving Pittodrie. I do think it leaves him in a very unfortunate position this Sunday, with everyone talking about him being the next Rangers manager, and he's got to play Rangers days after having lost heavily to them. But in football, let nothing surprise you.
Thanks to Kevin in Aberdeen. No, he's an Aberdeen fan. Indul Rai. Got that right. A nice combination there. Thanks to Kevin for his thoughts. We're going to hear from Celtic manager Brendan Rodgers. Remember, Motherwell against Celtic on Sunday in the League Cup final, then again at Fir Park on Wednesday. Will they now meet at Celtic Park tomorrow? So lots to talk about regarding that fixture. But before we do that, I've got an important thing I want to talk to you about. Mission Christmas. With Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington, caring about children in Glasgow and the West. Clyde One. Now, if you want to get involved with our Cash for Kids Mission Christmas Jumper Day, then it is exactly 1 week's time. So you've got plenty of time, 7 days, to go and get yourself the most outrageous, garish Christmas jumper you can find. And that's just one of the ways that you can help us on our Mission Christmas 2017. It's already well underway, so a big thanks if you've already donated. But if you want to get involved, you can donate £5 by texting the word Clyde to 70808. That's Clyde to 70808. And your full donation will go towards helping the kids who really do need it most within Glasgow and the West. We're just trying to make Christmas Day a little bit different for the kids out there who sometimes can't even afford a hot meal, don't get any presents, even, you know, no electricity in the meter, something as small as that. So we're just trying to make a difference, and you can help as well. It would make all the difference this Christmas, so please do what you can. And we will speak to Brendan Rodgers after the travel with Amber. Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly. Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers and turn our attention to that big fixture between Celtic and Motherwell tomorrow. Brendan Rodgers says he's looking forward to returning to Parkhead after a recent hectic schedule. Welcome Motherwell for round three of that fixture, but says it won't be any easier just because it's at home.
We look forward to it. They're all about challenges, really. You know, every game's a challenge, and of course there's different challenges when you play a team three times over the course of 7 days. We're really looking forward to playing at Celtic Park. We haven't been at home now for a number of weeks, and it's important for us to give our supporters, you know, they're brilliant for us and the travel, so it's, you know, for us in front of 60,000 people, we want to go and demonstrate our qualities and our intensity. But thankfully, as I said, I had a good chat with Stephen afterwards, and you know, and I repeat, I think he's doing an excellent job there, and with his staff and then with the players. But hopefully, we go into the game. We go into the game Saturday and look to close out a win, and then it would mark a very, very good week for us.
I think we can also say that Motherwell, while they're angry at the way the two games against Celtic have gone, Motherwell have been the best team that Celtic have faced this season because they've given Celtic more problems than anyone else.
I suppose Hibs may have a claim to that, but yeah, I get close certainly with the other night, one each, and I speaks for itself. But
I don't believe that familiarity breeds contempt. I do believe it will breed excitement tomorrow at Celtic Park. We've had all the rows about the penalty that Scott Sinclair won against Motherwell at Hampden. We've got all the rows now about Callum McGregor and the penalty he won at Fir Park. And that will lead to a Motherwell side going there intent on trying to make it third time lucky, intent on trying to prevent Celtic from going 67 in a row. And I just think it's an unfortunate sequence of fixtures, but it was unavoidable. And I think that the two teams have given us so far great excitement, great controversy, and I think it'll be a smashing match tomorrow.
I think Motherwell will take heart when they went to Aberdeen a couple of weeks ago. You got up there and battered Aberdeen, you know, on their own ground. So they can go away from home, but appreciate that Aberdeen are not Celtic. Celtic have got far better players. But the thing with Celtic, like the other night, maybe never played as well as they could, but they still deserve to get something out of the game.
Trevor Carson had a number of very good saves.
Yeah, he did. I mean the goal was dodgy again, the penalty kick, of course it was, but the number of chances they had, I think probably Celtic deserved something out of the game. But to get it that way is controversial again. And you saw the Motherwell players again, you know, surround the referee for it. So they'll have that on their minds tomorrow as well. They'll be hoping that they can get a break in these three games against Celtic.
I'll make this one general observation about Celtic. The last few days have been taken up with controversy about penalty kicks. But if you look at the overall picture, Celtic have now dropped as many points at this stage of the season than they did in the whole of last season. And they're still 4 or 5 games short of the halfway stage. So Celtic last season were scintillating, the Invincibles. There was not a word of complaint that you could have about them last season. But the same level of performance isn't there this season. And they've now dropped as many points by the 1st of December as they did in the whole of last season.
But the rest of the teams have no consistency, Hugh. You know, Aberdeen have lost to Celtic, they've lost to Motherwell at home, they've lost to Rangers. Rangers lost to Dundee. You know, they lost to Hamilton.
Yeah.
You know, the stupid games that Rangers will do, that's what costs them. There's no consistency with them. You know, even draws against these two teams, they're up there beside Aberdeen. They'll go above them, Aberdeen, if they beat them on Sunday. You know, they're still away, was it 9 points or 10 points behind Celtic, or if Celtic win their game in hand or whatever. You know, but just the silly points that Rangers throw away has kept them back.
Alex is a Motherwell fan in Prestwick. Hi, Alex.
Hi, how you doing? All right?
Yes, you?
Hi, fine. I just want a quick word with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the press and everything's been on about the incidents and all that about the two games against Motherwell, right? And I'm quite upset about the results. But we have had a good performance against Celtic. But the thing that really annoys me is the financial disparity. And people are talking about it, and I don't know if I've got the numbers right, because sure, you more likely know better than me, but I think PSG have got 8.8 times more salary than Celtic. Well, I think that was the number, right?
Uh-huh. Is this the average wage study that you're talking about that was released?
Average wage study. And Motherwell have got about 13 against Celtic, 800 against 13,000.
I think the only thing to bear, by the way, Alec, that will probably be a fair barometer, but the only thing to bear in mind is that average wage is not always the best way of looking at things, because people
might choose their resources differently. No, let me say what I said, Paul. And Brendan was on earlier saying about 60,000 at Parkhead tomorrow for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The average crowd for Motherwell's maybe home supports 4,000.
Yep.
So I think, you know, this might seem really crap, right, or bad, right? But I think Motherwell's performance against Celtic is actually better than Celtic's performance against PSG, given all that, right? Because we don't have the players, but we have the attitude and the manager to try and form something to get them. So what's your view on that?
Well, for me, I don't know where to go with that argument. You know, we are what we are. You're in the same league as Celtic. Yes, of course, Celtic have far more money than Motherwell, but what do you want Celtic to do, you know? And Celtic can do no more than make the Champions League group stages and earn your club and all the others in the Premiership £350,000. So, you know, Celtic are earning for everyone here. And it was always this way. You know, 20 years ago, Celtic had more money than Motherwell had. 50 years ago, Celtic had more money than Motherwell had and bigger crowds. But life just went on. Now it's become a reason to explain away anything that happens. Ah, budgets. You know, it's always been this way. Celtic and Rangers, up until recently, Rangers have had their financial woes now and are trying to get back from that, but it has always been this way within Scottish football. When did it dawn on you, Alec, that it was any different?
Yeah, but it also can't, I get what you're saying, but it surely can't just be dismissed. I mean, that's why it is an undeniable fact that for Motherwell, not just Motherwell, Hamilton, Partick, whoever it may be, to get a result against Celtic, that's a huge ask, and that's why.
Yeah, well, in that case, disband the league then. Because it's always been this way.
That's a bit extreme, as always, from you. But anyway, let me bring in Brian and Cambus Lang, because we are quite hard pushed for time. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how we doing, lads?
Yes, not bad.
Right. I'm only talking about the two games earlier the weekend, the Motherwell Celtic games.
Yeah,
two Stonewall penalty kicks, especially Wednesday nights against Motherwell. I was sitting in the stand behind the goals, and it's a definite penalty kick as well.
Now, all the Motherwell fans are coming on now and complaining. I didn't know there was many Motherwell fans. I thought there was still the pigeon carrier there. They're all coming on now complaining about their team. Tomorrow, I'd see Celtic 3 or 4 nothing tomorrow at Parkhead against that team. What do you think, lads?
Well, penalties. I didn't think Celtic had a penalty claim when Scott Sinclair went down. I do think that Callum McGregor's was a penalty. Plenty of people will disagree, but you know what? It's all over and done with. Celtic won the League Cup. Motherwell drew with Celtic at Fir Park. Over and done with. On to chapter 3 in the story at Celtic Park. So penalties have that habit of dividing opinion, but it's done.
I don't think Brian's alone, Derek. That's the opinion I sense from Celtic fans, is that they're feeling particularly confident about tomorrow. You know, the two games now under the belt. It's a third chance. I mean, yeah, Celtic obviously won the first one, drew the second. I'm relatively close. Don't take that too seriously. You know what I mean? It wasn't a hammering. But I think a lot of Celtic fans are feeling confident ahead of this one tomorrow.
Because Celtic can change it again with the huge squad that they've got and the good set of players that they've got. You know, they can change it around and rest a couple of players, because it's been a hard shift, you know, the last 2 or 3 weeks from Motherwell. Don't have that luxury. And I think that's why many Celtic fans, the game getting played at Celtic Park, you know, are very, very confident that that's going to happen. But, you know, but I would disagree with you, Brian. I didn't think it was a penalty the other night. I thought Celtic deserved to get something out of the game because they created so many chances. But again, 2 minutes to go, I don't think it was a penalty kick. I think Callum McGregor did well to get the penalty.
Beat the pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Fancy your chances of starting your weekend with a wee victory on Beat the Pundit? Well, now's the time to pick up the phone. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are waiting to take you on, so you need to dial 0141 951 1025 and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Lots still to get through. We're going to hear from Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson soon as he prepares to take his side to Celtic Park tomorrow. But before we do that,
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time for tonight's Beat the Pundit, and tonight's contestant is Ian McNabb from Paisley. Hi, Ian.
Hiya.
Now, Ian, you're a Falkirk fan. We don't get many of them in the phone, so no, I can't possibly let this opportunity pass me by and ask you what is going on with the Bairns this season.
Oh, just one of these seasons, I'm afraid. Inspector being a Falkirk supporter.
Ian's used to it, Hugh, but every week we see the results coming in and...
I know, it's absolutely... We'll be all right, we'll be safe. We'll finish back table, all right.
Not only that, a Falkirk supporter in a town where... the team in the town is top of the league.
Exactly. That's true.
Just rubbing it into you, Ian, aren't they?
I just stay 5 minutes for
the ground. Oh, nightmare. That's DJ's other team, isn't it, DJ? You were off watching St Mirren the other night.
Absolutely.
Right, okay, I'll toss a coin, Ian. I'll toss the coin. Heads, it's Hugh Keevans. Tails, it's Derek Johnson.
Right.
And it is going to be heads. Yep, heads, Mr. Hugh Keevans. You're going to be up against. So we'll give him some Clyde 2 in his ear. Make sure that he can't steal your answers. Okay. Ian, it's 30 seconds, head to head. You can pass. Your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
Right, let's go for it.
Let's go. Who scored a hat-trick on Wednesday night for Everton?
Wayne Rooney.
Who's currently top of Scottish League One?
St Mirren.
Which club did Elton John become chairman of in 1976?
Watford.
Name any team that England drew in their World Cup group today?
Belgium.
The Luzhniki Stadium can be found in which European city?
St Petersburg.
Which Premier League club does David Wagner manage? And which country is the Ashes currently being held?
Australia.
Okay. Mr. Keevans, are you with us?
I am.
Good stuff. Same set of questions to you. Let's go. Who scored a hat-trick on Wednesday night for Everton?
Wayne Rooney.
Who's currently top of Scottish League One?
Ayr.
Which club did Elton John become chairman of in 1976? Name any team that England drew in their World Cup group today.
Tunisia.
The Luzhniki Stadium can be found in which European city?
Warsaw.
Which Premier League club does David Wagner manage?
Huddersfield.
Which country is the Ashes currently being held?
Australia.
And which position does Motherwell's Chris Cadden play?
Winger.
Okay, how are you feeling about that, Ian, listening to him back?
I'm confident, I think that everyone's snickered me.
He sounded confident, didn't he? I must admit, he definitely sounded confident. Okay, let's just go through this. Wayne Rooney, an easy one to get you both off and running, 1-1. Currently top of Scottish League One is Ayr United, Ian. You're getting mixed up with the old Championship. So Hugh Keevans moves into a 2-1 lead. It turned into a 3-2 lead because you both got Watford and you both got, you had the choice, Belgium, Panama or Tunisia. So that's still one up to Mr. Keevans at this point. The Luzhniki Stadium is in Moscow. So you're kind of close, Ian. You said St. Petersburg, but not that close. So Moscow, David Wagner is Huddersfield Town. Mr. Keevans, you're well on the money tonight. The Ashes are being held in Australia. You both got that. Hugh, you were just a bit quicker than Ian, so you got onto the last one. Chris Cadden, midfielder, winger, whatever I would have accepted, a variation. That was a 6-4 victory for Mr. Hugh Keevans. Well done, Ian. Good effort, though. Thanks for taking part.
Thanks, Ian.
Good luck. See, Falkirk, they just can't buy a win, Hugh Keevans. They come on, beat the pundit for a bit of relief. Can't get a win on here either.
I've been in that Luzhniki Stadium, and I thought it was in Warsaw.
Moscow.
Just goes to show I don't know where I am.
I've seen the great difficulty you have finding your way to this studio. So the thought of you roaming around Moscow.
Was it not strange that you went to the ground, there was nobody there and there was no game
well,
on?
Well, I thought so.
It actually stresses me out a bit trying to think about that. If Scotland had qualified, big if, I like to think we could have had a feature running every day, Keevans at the Kremlin, and you, well, just, honestly, it would have been gold.
I once asked a man in what was then known as Czechoslovakia, excuse me, sir, can you tell me where Wenceslas Square is? He said, you're standing in it.
The good king's there.
That does not surprise me. That does not surprise me at all. Loads of time for you guys to get involved on the phones. 0141 951 1025. Get in touch with your thoughts ahead of a big weekend of football. Stephen Robinson says it's time to stop all the off-field drama and concentrate on the positives as they get set to take on Celtic for the third time in 6 days. The Fir Park boss says they're hungrier than ever after almost ending Celtic's unbeaten run on Wednesday.
You know, 3 games is 6 days. 6 days against the champions, unbeaten in 66 games. It's tough for a wee club like Motherwell. Mm. You know, when I read in the paper the other day, the gap between us and Celtic and PSG has actually doubled financially, the financial disparity. So, you know, that makes it tough. The fact that there's been so much publicity around it means there must have been decent games. There must have been competitive. You know, nobody's really spoke about that. Nobody's really spoke the fact that, you know, we took a point off the champions. We were very unlucky not to get 3 points. And we've no, a final was very close up until decisions sort of changed the game. So nobody's really spoke about the football aspects of it. It's only the controversial decisions, which is a shame. Well, I think if you play against Celtic twice, you know, and there wasn't a lot in the first half, as we all would agree, although they dominated possession, as they always do. And the other night, you know, we were minutes from getting 3 points. I think they take a lot of belief. You know, it really sets them up. And they, you know, and there's little doubts, because that's the first time we've actually played Celtic this season on the Sunday. So they've now got a real belief within the squad, but they want more. You know, and I've said to them, don't be happy with that. Don't let your season fizzle out. This is the start of our season, and we need to kick on from here. So that's exactly what we'll be trying to do.
I mean, I can sense Celtic fans, Hugh Keevans, saying, well, you know, we deserved something the other night. Trevor Carson made a number of good saves. And I think both can be true. I mean, Celtic did deserve something, but also the hard facts are that Motherwell were 2 minutes away or whatever it was. So that's where Stephen Robinson, when he uses the word close to ending the unbeaten run, that's where it comes from, surely.
I praise Motherwell because I do think they've given Celtic two tremendous games, both at Hampden and at Fir Park. I do think they have a chance at Celtic Park. I'm not buying into Celtic will win comfortably. Celtic at their own ground this season have had a variety of mistakes. Drew with St Johnstone, drew with Kilmarnock, drew with Hibs. So they shouldn't be overly confident going into this particular game against Motherwell. But Stephen Robinson again brought up financial disparity, which is beginning to be my favourite hobby horse now. Celtic are going for 67 in a row tomorrow. I take you back to 67, 1967, when Celtic won the lot. Everything, including the Glasgow Cup, European Cup and the domestic treble. They were beaten twice that season, and Derek Johnson will tell you which team beat them twice that season. And the financial disparity was great because the team who beat them twice, Derek, was?
Rangers.
No. Dundee United. Yeah. Dundee United. So
3-2 in both games.
The greatest Celtic side ever, managed by the greatest Celtic manager ever, won everything, First British club to win the European Cup were beaten twice, home and away, by wee Dundee United.
You know what, I was at both games, Hugh. 3-2 was the score in both, yeah, both games.
But when people mention it, Hugh, I don't think they're saying that shock results can't happen. I don't think that's what the argument is there. I think Stephen Robinson's talking about three times in a week. It's bound to be hard. I think we would all accept that. It's bound to be hard for Motherwell.
There will be budget issues.
And by the way, I'm not saying they deserve sympathy for that or whatever. It's just the way it is.
Whether it's Motherwell, Hamilton Accies, Partick Thistle, whoever, there will be budget issues this season, next season, and every season from now until the end of time. If you don't want budget issues and you think that materially affects the game, let's just disband the league then and we'll do something else.
Honestly, always a man for the extremes, says Mr. Keevans. Motherwell midfielder Alan Campbell, also in front of the media today, he says he's going to try and have fire in his belly when he takes to the field at Celtic Park. The youngster says he's up for the fight against Brendan Rodgers' side and says the players are raring to go.
So obviously it's disappointing we could have won the game so close, but the draw is it's a good result. A draw is a good result, but I think because you've been so close to the win, it's also going to feel like a defeat. The boys are gutted, but pick ourselves up and hopefully make that draw a win tomorrow.
You glad you got them again?
Aye, definitely. I think a bit of fire in the belly, wasn't to go, get stuck in again and hopefully win. That's the main point, win. Just need to win against them. Obviously, boys are drew once and got beat, so might beat them this time. But I think you just have to treat every game the same and also playing against the high calibre players. Just don't want to show them any respect, just get stuck in, just the same, no fear, and hopefully do my bit. I think sometimes you can use that as an advantage, a bit of fire between the both teams. I think that's always good. I think I look forward to that going into the game, a bit of battle. I think that's good. I think I don't think you want to whip that a wee bit necessarily. I think you just want to keep that going, a bit of spite between the two teams going to the park tomorrow and get a good battle, get stuck in. That's what I've been taught today, just get stuck in, just show no fear, no respect, just on the park you kind of be friends with the opponents, so no, doesn't bother me.
I just hope they've got the energy in Motherwell. You know, they've played roughly the same team in the two games. You know, this will be the third hard game in 6 days, whereas Celtic can change it a bit. I think they're a very, very fit side, Motherwell, and I think they've proven that in the last couple of games. You know, they've never really allowed Celtic time on the ball. You know, when it gets to the last 30, 40 yards before their goal, you know, they're in and about and trying to stop them playing. They're going to have to do that tomorrow. This is not going to be a Motherwell side that's going to go gung-ho and have a right go at Celtic. That's not going to happen, because Celtic realise in the last two games they have had it hard. But, you know, this is the home game again. As Hugh says, they've dropped 6 points in three games that they've drawn. They'll want to go there tomorrow and say, OK, Motherwell, you've done well in the last couple of games, but you're now going to play against the real Celtic, because Celtic have been off the boil a wee bit and they'll want to get back on it again tomorrow. That's why Motherwell will need to watch out.
Pretty good for Alan Campbell. No talk of money in the bank. He talks of fire in the belly, and that's why it's going to be a terrific game tomorrow.
Kyle's on touch on Twitter. He says, I think the Hoops will beat Motherwell after the draw, but it will still be a close game. Think we should start Lee. Let's get 67 games unbeaten. And Alex McLeish, not that one, says if Celtic don't beat Motherwell next game, I will eat that kangaroo's didgeridoo from I'm a Celeb. Get me out of here. So I'm going to just keep that tweet on record just in case, because, you know, we always like to, when people make outlandish promises.
You don't want to eat a didgeridoo. Oh, no.
Don't break your teeth.
I've never seen that programme and I never will.
Never?
Never.
Is there a reason? Deliberately just stay out the way of it?
For me, it's the most idiotic idea ever. And anybody who watches it,
now,
must
careful.
Have something better to do with their time.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking, sorry for going a bit off topic, but some of the so-called celebrities on there, Derek Johnson, are only slightly more famous, if that, than Hugh Keevan. So I'm wondering if we could start a petition
to get him on.
Can you imagine him sitting in the jungle? He's just spoken of his hatred of the idea.
I'd love to see him with a didgeridoo smoothie. That would be a good one, wouldn't it?
Honestly, the Bish Tucker trial.
I can't stand Anton Deck either.
I don't think they're your biggest fans. So the last time I spoke to them, they said they didn't like your predictions on the show. Mark's in Gurrock. Hi, Mark.
Hey, doing, lads? Port Glasgow.
Oh, sorry. Is that a bad mistake to make? I'm not familiar with the lie of the land.
No, it's not you, mate. It's just Port Glasgow's Port Glasgow, end of the day. I'm a Rangers fan, and I want to talk about Derek McInnes. I've just, obviously, he's been the guy. Even though he didn't sell last week for the job, he's still the guy that seems to be the name about. And my first point is, surely Marty beats him again on Sunday. surely you can't overlook that, guys. If we're under 20s coach is wiping the flare with Aberdeen, I just don't think it's a great idea. And my second point is, surely a club Rangers size has got at least a 3-man shortlist for that job, and I think it's disgraceful if they're not. That's why I obviously know big DJ's opinions and their opinions on that matter.
Well, Derek, it's something that was always going to come up. If the Derek McInnes situation was still ongoing during this double header, it was always going to lead to more questions than answers.
I know, I'm amazed at the number of Rangers fans that wouldn't accept Derek McInnes. You know, he's finished third the last three seasons, you know, and even although they've had a poor run of form, they're still above Rangers in the league. You know, I think he's got a decent squad up there at Aberdeen. He's got one or two exceptional players, but he gets the best out of players. Okay, he's not going to get them playing every single week, but I think he would do a job for Rangers. And I think I agree with you, and I've said it the last couple of weeks, I think Derek McInnes has always been the man. They certainly haven't contacted Aberdeen, because Stuart Milne said that I've had nothing from Rangers, but it may well be different on Monday after that Aberdeen game. But the bottom line is, I don't care who Rangers get in as a manager. I think you've got to back him until such times that it's not happening. Then you can maybe have a go. I think for some Rangers fans to have a dig at Derek McInnes even before he's got the chance of getting the job is maybe a wee bit naff.
All of the Rangers supporters who are hostile
I'll
towards,
let you back in a sec, Mark, don't worry.
All of the Rangers supporters who are hostile towards the idea of Derek McInnes will immediately change their minds so long as he hits the ground running. And if he can beat Celtic at Celtic Park, then he's got everyone's confidence. But that's a mighty big ask.
I mean, we are getting a bit ahead of ourselves again, aren't we? But it's tough because of the way that the speculation just won't go away. Mark, do you want to come back in?
I'll back any Rangers manager. Whoever gets the job, yeah. I'll back them, right?
Yeah.
But it's just his record in Scottish football, finishing behind Celtic, even when Rangers were absolute dire. You know, and they're one of the strongest team, and they're not the strongest squads. Even under Pedro Coutinho, I wasn't happy with his appointment at the start either. Yeah, but I backed him. I'll always back him.
But Mark, you know, there's nobody getting anywhere near Celtic. You know, Aberdeen did well a couple of seasons ago when they went there head to head with Celtic with about five or six games to go, and then Celtic ran away from them. So that, you know, with the facilities and everything else that Aberdeen had to what Celtic had are completely different. We've just been speaking about that 5 minutes ago. I think he's done a good job, Aberdeen. He's won a cup with them as well. I think he ticks an awful lot of boxes for Rangers. And I think for as many Rangers fans that are, might not be happy if Derek McInnes gets a job, I think there will be an awful lot will say, yeah, he knows what the club's all about. He's had a wee bit of success. His management's been good. You know, he knows what it means to play for Rangers. He knows what it means to lose two games or three games in a trot for Rangers. You're under severe pressure. He knows all that, rather than somebody coming in, really, that like Kashinya, who never knew anything like that.
What's become clear, Hugh, is when this conversation started, the fact that he finished behind Celtic or couldn't challenge Celtic was a stick used to beat Derek McInnes with, and now there's a new one, the fact that he lost to Graham Murty's Rangers.
Yeah, you know, if Derek is approached by Rangers and Stuart Milne agrees to the approach, his first press conference will be interesting, because people will automatically say, Derek, you said you had unfinished business at Aberdeen, so did you finish your business in a two-week spell? They will also say the main job for any Rangers manager is to try and A, reduce the gap between Rangers and Celtic, and B, one day overhaul Celtic. You, after losing 3-0 to Celtic at Pittodrie, the last time the sides met, seemed to put your hands up and say, do you know what? I just don't know how to beat this lot.
Sorry, Mark, you want to come back in?
Just a second point, Gordon. Obviously, this kind of thing is going to bubble on. And it's, I said I'll back him if he gets a job, he takes it. But it's depending on my second point, what I mentioned earlier, surely a club Rangers size has to have some sort of shortlist for the fans' benefit. You know, there's a lot of good fans there, pay a lot of money to go and watch Rangers. And they have done and backed them to the fourth division right up. And you know, it's like it's cold and dagger stuff. What's going on? Yeah. Why is there no shortlist?
But you know, but Mark, there has been a shortlist. You know, there's been umpteen CVs sent into the club. They've looked at them all. They've narrowed it down. And eventually, they've come up with the one man that they want. Now, they've said that he's going to be in next week, whoever it is. You know, We're saying it's Derek McInnes. I still think he is the favourite to get it, but they're certainly, they've looked at other managers, but when it's got down and they've voted amongst themselves, I think the one man that they've got, they've had the, he's going to get the backing of the board. So that man, whether it's Derek McInnes, we'll find out certainly next week.
Thanks to Mark in Port Glasgow. I've got it right this time, haven't I? Thought it right, okay. But I can blame the producer anyway. It said Guruk on my screen. How was I supposed to know?
It sounds like Port Glasgow, Guruk. Port Glasgow. That sounds the
anyway,
same, doesn't it?
Thank you to Mark in Port Glasgow for that call. We're going to get a full-time teaser for the guys, and we're going to hear from Neil Lennon on that bus stop with Anthony Stokes.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Top tips with Ladbrokes. Download the app now. Please gamble responsibly.
It is that time of the night when we're joined by, usually, David from Ladbrokes, but tonight it's Stuart who's in the hot seat. Stuart, thanks for joining us. Start with the big game tomorrow, obviously. Third meeting in a week between Celtic and Motherwell. What are the odds looking like for that one?
Yeah, as you say, the third time in the past 6 days for these two. Celtic 1-6, the draw 6-1, and a big 18-1 for Motherwell. Some may say Motherwell have been unlucky in the past 6 days, especially on Wednesday. They are conceding an 88th minute penalty. Can they be the team to end that unbeaten run? 18-1 would suggest not.
Certainly doesn't look like it. The other fixtures at 3 o'clock tomorrow, Stuart, Hearts against Hamilton. Hearts haven't quite managed to get that bounce from returning to Tynecastle. What about tomorrow?
Yeah, winless in the past 6 games. Hamilton, on the other hand, unbeaten in the last 5. Obviously a recent win against Rangers in there as well. But Hart's record at Tynecastle against Hamilton is outstanding. A 40-year unbeaten record stretching back to 1977 in that one.
Partick up against Hibs at Firhill. Neil Lennon wasn't too happy with Hamilton Aki's approach to the game last week. What might you find when he goes to Firhill tomorrow?
That's right, yeah. Coming off the back of 2 disappointing results, Hamilton, you mentioned there, and obviously a 2-1 loss to St Johnstone at home. So they'll be keen to get back to winning ways, especially against Partick, who are at the foot of the table. Simon Murray could be the man to do it. 5 goals in his last 6 games for Simon Murray. 7-2 for him to get on the score sheet. 13-10 any time. Partick 19-5, 13-5 the draw, and Hibs 8-11.
Ross County Dundee?
Yeah, two teams struggling to find any real form in the table here. They're only sitting 3 points apart. Ross County 8-10, 12-5 the draw, 2-1 Dundee.
And the final game at 3 o'clock tomorrow, St Johnstone against Kilmarnock. How's that one looking?
5-4 St Johnstone, 21-10 the draw, 23-10 Kilmarnock. Some may say Kilmarnock have looked rejuvenated under Steve Clark, but still only picking up 2 wins in those 7 games that he's been in charge. St Johnstone, on the other hand, they ended their woeful win last weekend against Hibs with a 2-1 win. But still not a lot of goals being scored between the two, so maybe under 2.5 goals, 8-13, under 1.5 goals, 9-5 for Ladbrokes.
And finally, the big one at Pittodrie on Sunday, Aberdeen against Rangers. I'm sure Aberdeen will be out for some revenge. What are the odds looking like for the game at Pittodrie?
Yeah, took the words out of my mouth there. Aberdeen out for revenge. 7-4 Aberdeen, 23-10 the draw, 29-20 for Rangers. Looking big after such a dominant display midweek. But between the two, 6 out of the last 7 games between them, seen over 2.5 goals. So we go 4-5 for over 2.5 goals at Ladbrokes. Or you can have Aberdeen to score 2+ goals, 7-5, or Rangers to score 2+ goals, 6-5.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's time to give Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson the full-time teaser. This one's been sent in by Dale Handley. You know, sometimes when it's written down in email form, Hugh, you're trying to detect the tone. I'm not sure if there's a bit of tongue-in-cheek from young Dale here. He says, "Hi, Gordon. To celebrate the great relationship between Motherwell and Celtic and to mark another momentous meeting of the clubs," he goes on to say, "we're looking for 13 players since 87 who've played for both sides 10 or more times in the league."
Okay, let's start with Andy Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
Phil O'Donnell.
Phil O'Donnell. Mm-hmm. Stephen Pearson.
Mm-hmm.
McDonald.
Mm.
Scott McDonald.
Yep.
Gordon Marshall.
Okay, that's a good start. We'll get back to that, I'm sure, as the night goes on. You're lucky. This does not work in radio, but see if I can tell you how chuffed Derek and Hugh are that they've actually managed to get a few answers straight away. Look, they've got faces like wee schoolboys here. Honestly, they're delighted with themselves. Pinky is a Rangers fan in East Kilbride. Hi, Pinky.
Hello, how's it going, lads?
Good, thanks. Okay. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm not in East Kilbride tonight. I'm Kilwick, just coming home from work. But my point is, there's a lot of talk about, obviously, Rangers manager, and I think we're overlooking one of the said about a Scottish manager. What about the Motherwell manager?
Stephen Robinson. Well, he's not Scottish, but I know what you mean in terms of experience in this division.
Well, you know... On what basis, with the greatest respect to the man, you know, he's come in, he's galvanised Motherwell, he's made good signings, but, you know, he's had less than half a season at Motherwell. On what basis would you promote him to the job of Rangers manager?
Well, look what he's done against Celtic. Do you know that nobody else has kind of done that? I'm not a fan of David McCann, you know, not for any particular reason, just like, I just don't want him at my club. He's come out and said that he doesn't want the job. So if they really wanted it, he could just turn around and say, yeah, I would like that.
I don't think he's ever said he's never wanted the job.
He's never said that. No. In fact, he's been very careful not to say that I do not want the job. As I say, I think Stephen Robinson has done a terrific job for Motherwell, and I'm sure there are more positive things to come from Motherwell. But you've isolated one example, what he's done against Celtic. Well, he lost a cup final to Celtic and he got a draw against Celtic in the league. That's what he's done against Celtic.
Beat Rangers, didn't he?
Well,
but so did Hamilton.
So did Neil McCann and Martin Canning. So,
do you want Martin Canning or do you want Neil McCann?
No, I just think that I've got a lot of time for him. I think he did a good job and he couldn't go wrong for what's there now.
Well, believe me, you know, it may come his way one time, but I don't think it's this time. He has more work to do with Motherwell. He's made a terrific start, but the season is not yet halfway through. And I'm sure that Stephen himself would understand that at this particular time, he would not be on the shortlist to be the next Rangers manager.
Okay, thanks to Pinky, who's from East Kilbride but is in Carluke, driving home from work. Let's hear from Neil Lennon, because there was a bit of a bust up this week, Hugh Keevans, between him and Anthony Stoke. Neil Lennon's confirmed that's the reason that Stokes missed Hibs' game at Hamilton Accies last week. Remember, the pair have obviously worked together before. The manager says it's all sorted now, there are no major issues to be ironed out, and he could well play Partick Thistle tomorrow.
Isolated incident, but you know, I felt I'm not going to tolerate it. And he understands that, and he's back in training very well this week, and he's in contention to start at the weekend.
Was that the reason he wasn't playing last week? Yeah.
Well, he'd only trained one day anyway, you know, and he hadn't trained very much in the previous 2 weeks of the international break, so he was under a little bit, for me, undercooked. He played against St Johnstone and he looked a little bit off it, and he hadn't trained much due to a bug as well. So all that culminated in the decision as well. His attitude's been very, very good, you know, and he's been a bit in and out, but he's still got real quality. Now he needs to, you know, come and add that quality to the squad now, for particularly this month. So he's fit and ready to go, and he's accepted that he was in the wrong, and he's getting on with it now.
Did you apologise, Daniel?
Yeah, well, he doesn't have to apologise. He just needs to understand that there are certain codes of conduct and a level of discipline that, you know, you can't cross with me, and he knows that, so it's done now.
Having worked with him previously, he should have known.
He should have known, yeah. It's not a major issue, you know, we played really well at the weekend, you know, it's not going to affect the group long term, so, you know, I think we'll see a very motivated Anthony Stokes now for the next few weeks.
First of all, let me say, if you put Neil Lennon in the blue corner and Anthony Stokes in the red corner, there's only one man getting his hand held up at the end of the fight, and that's Lenny. So Anthony Stokes on occasion has lacked professional discipline. It's been the same throughout his career, whether in Scotland or in England, and it's held him back. So he's been well worn now by Neil Lennon. He's at a good club, a club going places under Neil Lennon, and he'd be a foolish man if he doesn't take the warnings that Neil Lennon has given him to heart.
Yeah, Derek, but I suppose it was an honest assessment from Neil Lennon, wasn't it? He did at the start of the, obviously we didn't play the full press conference, sort of say, you know, he was keeping his cards close to his chest on the matter, but he sort of opened up and admitted, yep, there had been a bust up. Anthony accepts that there are certain things that he can't do. It's all in the past now, and you know, he's free to play from now on. And
I mean, players, even in my day, players like to have their views, you know, on the manager. They didn't like, you know, some of the things that the manager was doing or the tactics or whatever. And there's ways of doing it, you know, and I think people can go overboard and managers can get a wee bit peeved about it. So you've got to watch what you say to managers. I know there may be friends as well, but it doesn't matter. If you're in front of and all your players know what's going on, and you're the one it's the butt of the jokes and everything else, then you've got to do something. And that's what Neil's done. Neil said to him, right, you're out. But then he's spoken to him again. The two of them have got together in the office, said, look, finished. As you said, you've got another chance here. I brought you in this for one simple reason. I think you can do this club a turn because you're a good player. Don't ruin it by messing about in the dressing room or anywhere else.
Partick Thistle, from their perspective, Hugh Keevans, an interesting challenge tomorrow. We know that Hibs on their day are very good, but we know they've also had some difficult results this season. I'm sure that's one Alan Archibald would really like to manage tomorrow. That would be a good scalp, wouldn't it?
It's perfectly straightforward. Partick Thistle are bottom of the league. They need to get out of there. They're at home, but they're playing a Hibs side who, on their day, such as when they went to Celtic Park and get a 2-2 draw there, on their day can be mightily impressive. There are other days when Hamilton Accies can go to Easter Road and Hibs look anything but mightily impressive, but it's a straightforward exercise for Alan Archibald. Thistle are bottom of the league. They must treat every home game as being vitally important.
I mean, we heard Lenny last week, you know, when they drew with Hamilton, you know, he said it's the best we've played for a long time. Now, that takes some doing when you think how they played against Celtic at Celtic Park, you know, and they still didn't win the game. So this is a Hibs side on their day. You know, they're good enough to beat anybody, but this is a tough one tomorrow. I mean, Thistle are starting to get games back now. They were poor at the start. They're starting to look a wee bit better, and this could be another turning point for Thistle tomorrow.
Right, and of course, Neil Lennon, sorry, wasn't happy with the way that Hamilton Accies flew into some challenges last week. We heard that furious interview with him after the game. So just it's one to keep an eye on tomorrow for a number of reasons. A good fixture.
Yeah, it's a smashing fixture. But as I say, the bottom line here is Partick Thistle will only get off the bottom rung if they do their best at home. The away matches will throw up the usual difficulties. You're unlikely to win more than you lose. So you've got to take maximum points from your home games. And that it'd be a difficult one for them because, as the gentleman from Ladbrokes said there, you know, you get Simon Murray back scoring goals again. Anthony Stokes coming in with Neil Lennon's imprint on his backside. And they'll be very, very keen.
It's the same scenario, Hugh. The things that Stephen Robinson said before the cup final against Celtic. He said, if we try and play football against this team, we'll get played off the park and we'll lose. I think it's the same tomorrow. Thistle are a very, very solid side, but Hibs love to get that ball passed about. Yeah. And if Thistle allow them to do that, then I think Hibs will definitely win it. But if you get in and about them, you know, and stop them playing, then you've a wee chance of getting something out of the game.
We've got a wee chance of getting something right with the teaser here.
I can see a few taking part on Twitter. Token Jester has got a few of them, and he's got one of the difficult ones that I think you two are going to struggle with.
Well, so far we've given you Stephen Pearson, Gordon Marshall, Andy Walker, Scott McDonald, Tom Boyd, Phil O'Donnell, Paul Lambert.
Eight.
Stephen McManus.
Yes.
Nine.
Brian McClair.
Yes. Ten. You're flying, right, Mr. Keevans.
Simon Donnelly.
No. Oh. You've got four to go.
Right.
Four to go, how many is that?
Yeah, you've got four to go, 13.
13.
Four to go. John's in Paisley. Hi, John.
Good evening. Hey, Hugh, I've got to disagree with you.
Oh.
With Anthony Stokes and Neil Lennon. I don't think you'd ever get Neil Lennon in a blue corner.
Very fair point.
I think it'd be a good walkover for Lance.
No, listen.
Red corner.
He was at Leicester City. Neil's had a blue jersey on before, so he would
Anyway. What's your point, John?
Too long. Right, my point is, first point, Derek, can't believe you said you don't care who we get as a manager. I can't believe you even
I didn't mean it in that context. Well, I'm saying whoever gets it, you back them. That's all I meant.
Well, really, Caniggia, I mean, after Caniggia, we don't wish. Sometimes I think you should watch what you say then, because some people
can
misinterpret
your pardon. I think you're the only one that's taking it that way.
Well, you might bet. I bet there's a couple of 100,000 Rangers right. fans take it the other way. But my next point is, if people are quite honest, Wednesday night, with an offside goal, no problem at all. When did Brendan Rodgers become best pals with Willie Cullen? Because I heard him make a statement, and I can't believe he made the statement, Willie called it right. That was on BBC Scotland. Willie called it right. When did these guys become best pals?
Well, because he used his first name.
Well, basically, referees were always meant to be impartial, no best pals. I mean, if you call me John, we're no best pals, but referees...
You're on to have an argument about nothing here.
So hold on, I'm just trying to, so why do you think they're best friends? Because he called them Willie?
Well, I've never heard that in the whole time of referees ever been called by their first name by any manager.
We try and live in a civilised world, and if you refer to a man, I've just said to you, we try to live in a civilised world, and if he's been polite to the man calling him by his first name, only in the west of Scotland can this be construed as the start of a conspiracy.
I'm just making a point, but I also say
your point is for me.
You disagree with me, right?
Totally,
so we disagree.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I also say is we admit it was offside. When is Celtic ever going to admit Sinclair dived? Carl McGregor, I've seen it from a different angle, different light, could be a good penalty there. But Sinclair, see when you players make mistakes or get sent off and stuff like that, managers are quite clearly come out and say he was bang out of order. But when they gain advantage, they never admit it. On both sides. You know what I mean?
That's the nature of football. Brendan Rodgers may actually believe that Celtic had two cast iron penalties. Would you consider that's a possibility?
No, I don't believe it. I think he knows exactly. Sinclair's one was...
So therefore you're putting yourself inside the mind of Brendan Rodgers. You know what Brendan thinks.
Oh, come on now, Hugh, you're playing my words now.
No.
You know I don't know that. Right, when did you become a psychiatrist? No, I mean, you know I don't know that.
Well,
but
why did you say it then?
He'll not admit it because he knows that, and I believe in karma anyway, that it'll come back to haunting him with two penalties. I believe it in Sinclair and McGregor. Guarantee you, one referee will just not accept it and book him for diving. Right, and everybody but my arms, it wasn't a dive because it probably will only be a dive.
Can I say two words to you?
Yes.
Sour... grapes.
Thanks to John and Paisley. Time's against me. We're going to get the answers to the full-time teaser coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here, and they're racking their wee brains for this full-time teaser. It was sent in by Dale Handley. We're looking for the 13 players that have played for Motherwell and Celtic since 1987, but they must have more than 10 league appearances. So for instance, I can see Anthony Lomax had a wee go with Joe Chalmers, but he hasn't had 10 league appearances for Celtic.
No.
So you're getting well through them, the likes of McClare, Boyd, Walker, O'Donnell, Lambert, Coyne, Marshall, Pearson, McDonald and McManus. Got any more? You still toiling?
We've got time.
Many have we got?
10.
Yes, you've got 3 to get. That's fine. I have faith in you. You started very quickly. Let's see if you can finish strongly as well. Jim's in Motherwell. No, he's in Wishaw, but he's a Motherwell fan. Hi, Jim.
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Derek.
Hi, Jim.
Good evening, Hugh.
Hi, Jim.
Hugh, were you at the game on Wednesday night?
I was not, no.
Ah, well, you're talking a lot of rubbish then. I've no clue what you're talking about, son. If you're not at the game, you can't comment on it.
Oh, well.
Willie Collins' performance. I'll give you one example. And why Rangers and Celtic win everything, and the wee provincial teams have no chance.
Uh-huh.
Every time a Motherwell player tackled a Celtic player, had the temerity to tackle him, he's booked. Celtic, on the other hand, they get away with murder. Collum's frightened. He's frightened to book them.
Will he call him?
He's frightened to book them.
Jim, do you not think these, when it comes to bad refereeing decisions, though, and I get the point sometimes when it's bigger clubs and if there's a crowd, I don't know, I can't get inside the referee's head, but surely there were mistakes on both sides. I mean, even the free kick which led to Motherwell's goal.
By Scott Brown.
I thought that was quite soft, but again.
That's the man who can run up to a referee, stick his finger in his face,
and get away with it. Jim, I wouldn't like to repeat what he said to him.
Jim,
would he book him? See, if it had been Carroll McHugh that had done that, he would have been booked and sent off.
I have to say that, obviously, as a Motherwell fan, you see things through claret and amber specs.
I look at it very respectfully, and I look at the other team.
Celtic
play well, and I love watching them play because they play some fantastic football. Last year, we had a great game at Fir Park. Motherwell get beat 4-3 at the end of the day. I don't know who else last year or since they went on their invincible run have been two up against Celtic at half time.
You are the only You are the only club. And I did say earlier on in the programme that I think Motherwell have this season given Celtic a harder game than anyone. But to refer to Willie Collum in particular, Willie Collum is disliked by the Celtic support because he once gave Rangers a penalty kick at Celtic Park. You must let me finish.
2 seconds, Jim.
I'm trying to make a point here. You're suggesting that Willie Collum is indicative of referees who bow down to Celtic, and therefore your club and others like you cannot get an even break. And I am saying to you that Willie Collum is disliked by the Celtic supporters for once giving Rangers a penalty at Celtic Park because he said he heard but did not see contact. He heard contact and gave a penalty. So Willie's unafraid. Willie goes by his own instincts. Sometimes he gets it wrong. Sometimes he gives decisions that nobody else on the ground has seen. But he goes by his own instincts, and he's very highly regarded by the SFA.
Oh, I think he's a fair enough referee. And he tries. I'm not saying he's biased in any way whatsoever. I'm just saying that it's just sickens the Motherwell fans, basically, that we've put up such a great performance and we've withstood the Celtic attacks. You know, the goalkeeper made a couple of fantastic saves. Derek said earlier on that Celtic probably deserved to draw. Yes, they did deserve to draw. Motherwell deserved to draw last year, maybe even beat Celtic at Fir Park last year. Nobody says anything about that.
So are you accusing Willie Collum of?
I'm accusing Willie Collum of awarding a penalty kick with a minute to go to Celtic in front of other thousands of fans baying for it. He's looked at, if you look at McGregor, he was off the park, he comes onto the park. To my mind, it was just a sort of a stumbling together. The big Rose probably shouldn't have been anywhere near him because McGregor's running along the byline. He's out at the 18-yard line.
He's not
going to create a chance for a goal. He's not in front of goal to tap it into the back of the net. He's going nowhere. And Collum turns in and gives him a penalty kick.
But never
a penalty kick in the month of Sundays, Hugh.
I repeat, what are you accusing Willie Collum of?
Giving a penalty kick to Celtic.
Incorrectly, in your mind, Jim, is that what you're saying?
Incorrectly, yes.
Okay, but
referees incorrectly or correctly.
I like the language because we accept that we disagree. That's the whole point. You thought it was a penalty and Derek didn't, and that's fine. You know, and that just showed. But you know, I've seen it described as a stonewaller, and I've also seen it described as never a penalty in a month of Sundays.
Lots of penalties are like that.
I know.
But in this country, everyone assumes
we're very sure about it, though. That's what I mean. We've got courage of our convictions.
Jim can say what he likes. Jim is accusing Willie Collum of giving Celtic a penalty because it was Celtic. That's the basis of Jim's argument.
Willie's in Craig End. Hi, Willie.
Hey, hiya. What it was the last two callers, they were just kind of raging about because of the Celtic kind of thing, you know, but it was two stonewall penalties. But see, the point before that, the call before that, Derek kind of agreed with him. It doesn't matter what manager Rangers get. Hugh's already said, as long as Brendan Rodgers is Celtic, I just want to see what you think of that. It doesn't matter who they get, as long as Brendan Rodgers is a Celtic.
Yeah, I've said it, and I'm not going to deny saying it. I said that for as long as Brendan Rodgers is Celtic's manager, Rangers will live in Celtic's shadow. And we know that whoever becomes the Rangers manager will first of all need to find out how much money he's going to get, because they've done very well against Aberdeen.
But they've not got any money, Hugh. Because besides the point of them going to get their manager, this should have happened a long time ago.
Don't you worry, John. Rangers will be putting money. They know they have to.
Derek,
listen, John, they do have money. Don't you worry about that.
I mean, whether that may well be more loans. You didn't admit that, though, yeah.
But it's not loans. That goes into equity. I mean, the soft loans.
Hold on, two seconds, Willie.
I mean, the soft loans that you talk about, and it's been said 3 or 4 times, that's going to be put into equity. You know, that they're going to get shares for all that money. Rangers don't
that resolution did pass today, by the way. We didn't quite get round to that.
And that's why that will happen.
The manager of Rangers, the next manager, will of course have a difficult job because he's got to face Brendan Rodgers, a club who are financially strong, who play Champions League football, who earn big money because of that. So of course he's going to have assurances from Dave King. And whether Rangers have to borrow it or whether they have it stuffed down a couch or whatever it is, the manager will and must get money because the job is undoable without it.
What did you make of Dave King's assessment after the AGM yesterday, Hugh, that interview on Rangers TV? And it was fairly clear, he said that at the start of the season the aim was a strong second and perhaps a challenge to Celtic. He already feels it hasn't quite panned out that way, so just to finish second essentially would be the aim now. So I don't think he's under any illusions either that they're not going to catch Celtic anytime soon, even though at the moment, you know, it's not too big a gap, but I think most people would still expect Celtic to go on and win the league.
Yeah, I mean, there'd be something far wrong if Celtic didn't go on and win the league, given the manager they have, given the strength and depth that they possess. If, and this is a hypothetical answer to your question, if Derek McInnes becomes the Rangers manager, he will need to be given certain assurances about money. He'll need to overcome the scepticism of a percentage of the Rangers support. And he will need to strengthen a side who needs strengthened because they are still capable of losing at home to Hamilton, of losing away to Dundee when Dundee were bottom of the league. They blow hot and cold. They've had a terrific result and performance against Aberdeen on Wednesday night, but there is room for improvement.
Right, we're going to need to get cracking on the teaser. You've got 3 to go. What if I told you one was a goalkeeper?
I haven't said that to you, but what was a goalkeeper?
And he's one of those rare types that's played for Celtic and Rangers.
Ooh. Brown.
Mm-hmm. Mark Brown.
Okay. 2 to go. So they both played for Motherwell and Celtic. Both made over 10 league appearances since 87. So the most recent one has also been in far-flung European destinations playing his football, such as Bulgaria, I think Cyprus perhaps as well, off the top of my head. Was never more than a bit part player.
No, wasn't him. No, you're
no, you struggling with that one. I thought that was a decent clue.
We need initials.
Initials CS.
Smith.
He's got the same surname as Tommy.
Oh,
that sounded like a good clue in my head, but don't know if it's quite translated to you two.
Sheridan.
Yes.
Sheridan.
What's his first name?
Killian Sheridan.
There we are. And I really don't know how to describe this other player to you. I'm going to just have to go for the old initials again.
Right.
WF.
Willie Faulkner.
See, it's a bit
simple. You don't get anything difficult for us.
I think you guys panic when it gets
well
to the last seconds of the show.
I thought we did well to get 12 or 11 or
yeah,
whatever.
You did alright. Okay, thanks to Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Thanks to everyone who got in touch on the phones and of course on Twitter as well. Now Saturday we are back. It's the 2 till 6 show, not the 6 hour special. 2 till 6, plenty of big games, none more so than Celtic against Motherwell. We've got some other big fixtures in the 3 o'clock as well, and of course a look ahead to Aberdeen against Rangers on Sunday. GBX Friday is up next, the best way to start your weekend. Hugh Keevans loves it in the car on the way home.
Boom boom music.
On that note,
see you tomorrow.